nation, all of the earth. Make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. 'Cause Jesus is coming soon. And call back the sinner, and wake up the saint, and let every nation shout of your fame. 'Cause Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride, like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church.
So we will. While the choir's making their way out, I want to say this while they're still in the building, in this sanctuary, that tonight, I've got a message to preach tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me this morning to have a prayer service tonight. We're going to be category praying tonight. We're going to pray for the Christians in Afghanistan. We're going to be praying for revival. We're going to be praying and anointing the sick. I want you to stand in proxy for those that need special deliverances, salvation, miracles. But I'm going to ask you to bring a picture of an individual that you want us to pray for. We're going to put it on this table, and we're going to anoint this table. We're going to pray over this table. If you have a prayer request that you want to put on a piece of paper, if you want it open or you want to seal that prayer request, we're going to pray tonight. And I believe our prayers are going to pierce the heavens. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands one more time? Father, we thank you and we bless you for what we feel in this place. We just ask you to move in a mighty way tonight, this morning, and tonight. Lord, we ask you to touch Brother Larry and Sister Gloria's son, Eric, that's sick. Reach down and touch him. Lord, for Don and Nan in the hospital, Lord, bring a healing to her physical body right now. For Brother Steve Mozell, you know you care. I pray that you'd meet with every one of us in this sanctuary, meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Again, there's so much that I want to say, but for the sake of time, I will not, about Nicaragua. For those of you who have been to Honduras, it's completely different. Spanish speaking, so the people are very beautiful people. Different, but beautiful. And to see those pastors in Chinandega, we met in a second floor building. It's a third world country, so it's very interesting to be there. And just to see those pastors as we begin to present to them about a covering, helping them finish their churches. The average income is anywhere from $1, one American dollar, to five American dollars per day as an average for those people. They are extremely poor. Nicaragua is the poorest country in Central America. And so anything that we could do for this country, for these people, you're talking about gratitude. They have a grateful spirit. I love doing for people who have a grateful spirit, don't you? Yes. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Children. Thank you, Brother Mercer. Children's Church, you can high-five Brother Mercer when you leave. 5-11, Children's Church. First Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again for what we feel in this sanctuary this morning. Lord, I ask you that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Everyone in this sanctuary, Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would, Lord, let the word of God prick and penetrate our hearts. Let it change us. I pray that you'd minister to every need. Lord, those watching by Facebook, you know the need in their heart and their life. Lord, I'm asking you to challenge us by the word of God. Lord, peel back the layers. Lord, we just want to learn Christ. We want to have a deeper knowledge and understanding of the Son of the living God. Speak to us, minister to us. Let the word of God change us and transform us. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach, and I'm going to ask you in question form, what has God called you to do, and what are you doing? What has God called you to do, and what are you doing? I just believe that every Christian that really loves God wants to do a work for God. Can I get a witness in the house? Do you want to work for the King of Glory? You know, when I got saved, I just wanted to do a work for God. I still want to do a work for God. I just want God to use me in the kingdom of God. Not only should a child of God want to do a work for God, I can tell you it is required that you and I be stewards, workers in the kingdom of God. There is a work. There's a harvest. There are things that we must do in the kingdom of God. I don't believe we work our way into heaven. I don't believe it's a work salvation, but again, I repeat what James says. He said, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith, or faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. Then he says, as an illustration, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. I believe when you get this real thing, whenever you really get born again, you will want to work in the kingdom of God, and you will want to walk in his perfect will. And you'll use your gifts, abilities, and talents for the kingdom of Almighty God. The Lord calls you and I, as children of God, stewards in the kingdom. What is a steward? Webster's Dictionary defines a steward as the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. The Greek word for steward is defined as one who has the authority and responsibility for something. One who is in charge of, one who is responsible for, administrator, manager. There are three clear aspects of stewardship derived from both definitions, both that I repeated this morning. Number one, oversees, that steward oversees what belongs to another. A steward carries authority to manage what has been entrusted. It is responsible, number three, that a steward give an account to the owner. I can tell you that you and I are stewards in the kingdom of God, and one day we're going to stand before the Almighty God, and we're going to give an account for the gifts that he's given us, the abilities, where we are, what we've been entrusted with. And I want to be counted faithful in the eyes and the mind of Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to do something with what God has given me. Don't you want to use the abilities, gifts in this kingdom of God to multiply in the kingdom? Every human being, I believe, has a gift or a talent. You say, well, I don't have any gifts, Brother Matt. I am the most unqualified, ungifted person you've ever met. I can tell you something. You have a gift. You have an ability. You have a talent. I have seen the lost person, the unregenerate, use their gifts and talents for the world. Some of the greatest singers in the world that probably were called to sing the never-dying love of this great gospel is singing now for the world. They're singing, they're using their talents for ungodly things. I don't care what it is. It could be the ability to build infrastructure. It could be the ability to be all kinds of different professionals in the kingdom of God, and they're using it for the world instead of God. I've seen this. You know, Elvis Presley was raised either in a Church of God or an Assembly of God church in Mississippi. They say that Elvis Presley, he used to sing. He got his start on the platform in a Pentecostal church. But because of fame, because of all the money, it pulled him out of God. And Elvis Presley's testimony was, later on in his life, he says this. Elvis Presley says, I remember the day that the Holy Ghost stopped dealing with my heart. I can tell you, when the Holy Ghost stops dealing with you, you missed your last train out of here. We need need to be sensitive to the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to use my talent for the things of this world. Katy Perry, her parents are Pentecostal preachers. Most of these singers that are talented, that are using their gifts and talents for the world, got started in the church house. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to use what God has given me for the devil. I want to use it for the glory of Almighty God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen to me today. We can either use our gifts to build the kingdom of God, we can use our gifts to build ourselves, or we can neglect the gifts altogether. You know what I want to do? I want to make up my mind today to use every ability and gift He's given me to further the kingdom of God. I just want to be used of God. We all, every one of us in this house, have a choice. But here are the facts. Every one of us in this house, those watching by Facebook, were born on purpose for a purpose. You're not an accident. You are born on purpose for a purpose today. And here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question. What has God called you to do, and what are you going to do with that calling? Listen to me today. We need to really begin to seek the Lord. I understand that maybe some of you have missed it somewhere along the journey. It's never too late to do what God has called you to do. I thank God for the blood. I thank God for forgiveness. I thank God for His wonderful mercy that He has bestowed upon us. You can fail Him over and over again, but if you'll come to the cross of Calvary, that precious blood will cleanse you and make you clean. Aren't you glad for the power of the cross today? I have failed Him thousands of times, but thank God I can come and receive the mercy of Almighty God. What has God called you to do, and what are you doing with that calling? It is easy to shy away from the to do something aspect, as it relieves us from any pressure of laboring to build the kingdom of God. The sad reality is this: though it is a process, it is a pressure, the labor in the kingdom energizes us. Do you hear me? I said working in this kingdom energizes the child of God. John 4:34, the words of Jesus. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." John 20:21, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Listen, if you put both of these verses together in John 4 and in John 20, we clearly see that our food is to do and to finish the will of Jesus, the one who sends us. And what is that to do? It is to build the kingdom of God. It is to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, before you leave this place today, what you think are just normal callings, you're going to find out there are a whole lot of more callings than what you thought there were. God has something for every one of us to do in the kingdom of God. My problem is, I need to find out what it is and be obedient to that call. We must do what He's commissioned us to do. Let's bring this over to the spiritual life. If we don't do the will of God who sends us, we become weak. Do you hear me? When you do not do the will of God, you become weak. When you do the will of God, it will energize you. Hear me. We are vulnerable, more vulnerable to temptation when we're not working in the kingdom. I am not preaching you work your way into heaven. We are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. We are saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad for that today? But I can tell you something. We are to work in the kingdom of God. A lazy Christian is more vulnerable to temptation. You know, it's not in the Word of God, but I can tell you it's a principle you can find in the Word of God, and it's this. An idle mind is a workshop of the devil. Whenever you're just idle, you're not working. The Bible says 6 days. day shalt thou work, and the seventh day thou shalt rest. I don't believe in just hanging out at the house all the time in your PJs. I believe we ought to get up and do something for the King of Glory. We've got just a little bit of time, and the time's running out. Don't you want to make an impact into somebody's life that has eternal consequences? I don't know about you, but that gets me all excited on the inside. It makes me feel better more all over, more than anywhere else, when I begin to think about what he's done for me and what I want to do for somebody else. He loved me when I was a sinner. He saved me when I was a prodigal son. I want to tell everybody about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved for 25 years, and I can see that lazy Christians are more vulnerable to temptation. I've noticed that one of the primary causes of people slipping away from the faith is a lack of doing. They become lazy and idle in regard to their calling, and before they know it, they find themselves in complacent drunkenness, immorality, or giving to interests that pull them back into the world's way of living. They lose their spiritual strength. And here is the bottom line: what we do strengthens us. I can tell you, whenever I meet somebody in the marketplace and the Spirit of God deals with me to tell them about him, or they just open the door and I begin to tell them about Jesus, I want to tell you something happens on the inside of me. I can tell you, it even feels better than preaching the gospel behind this pulpit when I can tell somebody about God and his son and tell them the plan of salvation. There is nothing that equals when tears begin to flow down somebody's face who's convicted by the Holy Ghost and they call on God to save them. Come on, church. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that compares to that. But that's not all of what God's called us to do. There are many gifts and talents and things in the kingdom that he has called each and every one of us specifically to do. Listen to what Psalms 139:16 says. It basically reveals that the Lord saw us before we were born. Every day of our life was recorded in the book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What does that basically mean? God designed things for you to do before you were born. God had a plan for you. But it doesn't mean that plan's going to come to pass. Let me just say this. People say this all the time. Well, if it be the will of God, it will happen. That's not true. If it's God's will, it'll take place. That's not true. It can be God's will for you to be saved, but you reject the will of God. It could be the will of God for you to go to Africa. It could be his perfect will. But all of a sudden you say, I'm not going, oh God. And you break that and you get out of the will of God. That means that we have to allow our free will coupled, and we got to meet with the perfect plan of God in order to get the prize. Do you hear what I'm saying today? If you read Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word should, it doesn't say that we shall, it says we should walk in them. Rather, we should walk in them. Our free will must enter into the game. He prearranged our works, but it is up to you and I to walk how he planned for us to walk. Oh, listen, God has a purpose. He has a plan. I'm here this morning to ask you, please don't forfeit the perfect plan of God for your life. God has a purpose, a plan, a will, and a way for each one of us specifically, and we must find out what it is. If you have missed the will of God, don't panic. There are two important things you have to remember when it comes to missing the will of God. God is more passionate about your calling than you are. So he's not going to hide his plans from you. He desires for you to know your calling more than you want to know your calling. Number two, the process of growing into a fullness of the calling is a journey, not a one-time event. I can tell you something, God is going to do a work in us slowly, but we've got to hear his voice. My message this morning is, what has God called you to do? And what are you doing? What if I chose not to fulfill the role? Brother Darren, are you ready? I've got a 4-minute video. I've never done this in 20-something years of ministry in the middle of my preaching. Play it. What if I choose not to fulfill my role as a child of God?
What are you called to do? I ask that question because we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. Imagine with me standing before the throne of God and a scenario like this occurred. Evangelist Anderson, come forth and give an account of your stewardship on earth. Evangelist Anderson, I'm not an evangelist. I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I had Evangelist Anderson, where are the 347,566 souls I called you to impact in Asia, son? Where are they? I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I help churches. I help ministries with their finances. Son, where are the 347,566 souls in Asia I called you to impact? Son, where are they? Had you sought me, had you sought my face, I would have revealed this to you. Accountant Jones, step forward and give an account of your stewardship. Accountant Jones, I pastored for 35 years. I had a membership of 750 people. Accountant Jones, I called you to the marketplace. Had you done this, you would have significantly impacted two people. You and those two men would have helped churches with their finances, and those churches would have impacted 751,321 souls. If you would have sought me, I would have revealed this to you. Sister Smith, come forth and give an account of your stewardship. I only raised three children. I never preached to nations. I never even been on a missionary trip. I only tried my hardest to raise my children in your way. Sister Smith, I never called you to preach to nations. I never called you to go to other countries on missionary trips. I called you to raise three children. And let me show you the 1,579,541 souls those three children impacted. You sought me and you heard my voice. You were obedient to my call. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So remember, in regards to the calling that's on your life, you won't be judged according to what you did. You will be judged according to what you were called to do.
Powerful video. What are you doing? What are you called to do? And what are you doing? Here's my point. Listen, everything in life is a domino effect or a ripple effect into something else. Your life directly affects people around you. Listen, no man lives or dies unto himself. Amen. That means that whenever you do what you're called to do, something else happens to somebody else and someone else and someone else. When you're not in that place, when you're not fulfilling the call in your life, ladies and gentlemen, somebody could go to hell for it. So what we need to do is we need to pray and find out what has God called you and I to do. Listen, Elijah served Elijah and received a double portion of what he had on Elijah's life. But years later, Elijah's servant Gehazi, who was next in line, he walked in that prophetic gifting, but because of sin, he lost everything. What am I trying to say? You can forfeit the plan and the purpose of God. Just because it's not what you would consider a big thing doesn't mean that God hasn't called you into it. The body is all made up of different parts. God has called us in different areas to do different things. And what I've got to do, what you've got to do, we've got to pray and get the mind of God and find out what has God called us to do. Proverbs 9 and 11. It says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it alone." What does it mean whenever he says he would multiply your days? Doesn't mean that he would add time to your life, because in another passage we know that our days have been numbered. And whenever he talks, Solomon talks about adding days to the life, it simply means that you would get more out of life. And it isn't going to happen. You're not going to get more out of life, and I'm not going to get more out of life without wisdom. Amen. I want the wisdom of God. We got to pray, God, give me wisdom so I can do more of what I need to do in the short time we have left to do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. "If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Let me just go ahead and tell you exactly what that means. When the blade is dull on the axe blade, it's going to take more labor to do it. Oh, listen, when you don't have and I don't have the wisdom of God, it's going to be a whole lot harder to do what we need to do. But whenever we can get the mind of God, get the wisdom of God, we can do more, we can be strengthened, and we can multiply in the kingdom of God. Listen, I wish I could play the piano like Brother Rock, Sister Ashley, but I can't. That's not my gift. I wish I could sing like Sister Tierney and some of these song leaders or some of these choir members, but that's not my gift. I wish I could mechanic like some of you. I wouldn't have to take my car down to the shop and spend thousands of dollars, but that's not my gift. But I can tell you there's things that I can do that you can't do, and there's things that you can do that I can't do, and that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Those who think to be lesser in the body are oftentimes way more important. I've talked to so many in this church that say, "Well, I just can't do this and I can't do that, and I don't feel like I can have any gifts in the kingdom of God." You better think again, because I can tell you, you got something that God can use. You just need to find out what it is. My ability, I'm not a doctor, but thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. Oh, listen, happy and blessed is the person who knows their gift and operates in that gift. Miserable and stressed is the person who tries to operate in somebody else's gift. You'll be miserable. Not everybody's called to be a pulpit preacher, but everybody's a preacher. Amen. Not everybody's called to lead singing, but you can sing the songs of Zion. Oh, listen, you may sing so terrible and that nobody wants to hear you, but I can tell you, you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And they may not like it, but I can tell you, it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Oh, we got to do what God has called us to do. We need to find out what God has called us to do and do it. The next question is, why do we put such a premium just on the platform gifts? The preacher, the singers, the musicians. Listen, Paul's words to the Corinthian church on this subject is this: some parts of the body that seem to be weakest in 1 Corinthians 12:22 that are least important are actually more necessary. Listen, Don't allow the devil to tell you that you're not being used in the kingdom of God. Here's the raw truth. Your gift, whether it operates best in healthcare, education, the government, the marketplace, media, the home, or any other arena, has a connection to the body of Christ. Because listen, this is the sanctuary, but this sanctuary is not the church. We are the church of the living God, and we're not just the church when we're in the sanctuary, but we're the church wherever we are, whatever we do, whatever we say, and wherever we go. Can I get a witness in this house today? I said we are the church of the living God, and God's called us to be the church wherever we are, to tell them, to help them, to give. We are stewards in the kingdom of God. Are we making the grade today? Are we good stewards? Are you a good steward? Here's how you can know. The number one requirement of a steward is to be found faithful. If you ask different people about faithfulness, what does it mean? You'd get a lot of definitions. When you think of faithfulness, what do you think about? I'll tell you, I wrote down a few good attributes of faithfulness. Being steadfast, consistent, dependable. Don't you like that? Reliable, loyal, true, trustworthy, devoted, truthful, resolute, obedient. But that's not the biblical form of faithfulness. Let me tell you the way Jesus described faithfulness. Jesus described it different than probably anybody else would describe it. As a matter of fact, if you had a definition, you ask 1,000 people about what does it mean to be faithful, probably very few or if any would even give the word that I'm about to give. But Jesus would. Jesus' definition, his main definition of faithfulness is multiplication. To introduce multiplication, we got to go back to Matthew chapter 25. We all know the story. One of the servants was given 5 talents. One was given 2 and one was given 1. The steward is committed to each of his servants, and they are symbolic of you and I. That's who they are. That's the one that had 5, 2, and 1. It's the church. Next, the long trip supports 2 facts. First, it has been almost 2,000 years since Jesus has been here. He hasn't returned yet. But even at the point in history, it's been a long time. Next, the parable once again shows that stewardship is not micromanaged. God doesn't come down here and look at us every single month. He doesn't try to take an evaluation every week. He waits until the end. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to give an account of our stewardship. We all know what took place. I'm going to give each one of these a name for the sake of identifying each one of these stewards. The man, the owner of this property, or the main one, he went away. The Lord Jesus Christ is typified as the owner. And all of the ones who received talents are you and I. I'm going to call the one who had 5, I'm going to call him Jim. The one who had 2, I'm going to call him Tom. And the one who had 1, I'm going to call Chris. Jim, he had 5 talents. He was that guy that was gifted with, you ever seen them kind of people that can do anything? Kind of make me mad, don't it, you? Kind of ticks me off a little bit. They can do anything. They can do anything, and everything they touch seems to turn to gold. They have gifts and talents. Whenever, you know, some are just given more abilities than others. Praise God for that. But this man, Jim, this guy had everything. You could call it Jim, or you can call her Jan. Some of those women have those type of gifts and talents. Whenever the master went away during the time that Jesus has tarried for his church, Jim, he took all the gifts that God had given him, and he gave, and he labored, and he poured into the church, and he witnessed to the lost, and he used all of his gifts and talents. It may not have been a platform ministry. It may have been something in the media department. It may have been something, some kind of a skill that Jim had. Maybe he was a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter. I don't know, but Jim, he had all of these talents, and he just kept pouring into the kingdom of God. He kept using that ability to grow and to multiply. He helped build churches. He helped pour in with his finances into the mission field. And because of that money, because of that labor of love, it multiplied and multiplied. Let me tell you something. The way the world sees faithfulness and the way God sees faithfulness is two different things. How does the Lord see faithfulness? How does he mainly define it? He defines it 5 times 2 equals 10. This man started out with 5 and he ended up, when the Lord came back, he had 5 more. And that's the way God, he defines faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. Have you done something with what God has given you? My pastor Taylor, there was a missionary years ago, he confronted him. He just said, how many souls have you won since you've been in that country? What Pastor Taylor was asking him, he said, are you just taking a trip over there? And what are you doing? And he said, well, I haven't won any. And he had been there for years. He said, then you're not a missionary, you're a helper. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We better multiply. We better do something with what God has given us. Tom was given too. Tom was pretty gifted, but not as gifted as Jim. Whenever Jim was confronted by the Lord, he had 10 talents. And what did the Lord say to Jim? He said, enter in thy good and faithful servant unto the joys of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. So Tom comes. He's only gained 2 more. He was given 2. He gained 2 more. But 2 times 2 equals 4. Multiplication. Tom didn't have as much, but he still gained with what God had given him. That's what really matters, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter how many things you can do, but are you gaining something with what God has given you? Listen, that little woman that just gave, she gave less than all the other ones, but she gave something. It may be just a little bit. I'm not saying it could be money, or it could be a labor. It could be just helping somebody. There's so many different things that you can use this principle as. But Tom, he had 2 and he ended up with 4. And what did the Lord say to Tom? He said, enter in thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. But the last guy, I'm going to call him Chris. Hope there's no Chris's in the house. Whenever he was required with what the Lord had given him, he went and dug it up. He was given 1 talent. He was that individual that says, I can't do anything. I can't do anything, so I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to come and warm a pew. Pews need warm too. So Chris, he was insecure. He was fearful. He was anxious. So he never did anything with what God had given him. He went and he found a hole and he put his talent, that one little gift, in that hole, buried it, and forgot about it. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people in the church house that's done the same thing. God has gifted you with an ability, but you have dug a hole somewhere and you've hung your harp on the willow, so to speak. Well, let me tell you something. It's high time that you get your harp off the willow. It's time that you dig that talent up out of the earth before Jesus comes back and use it for the glory of God. Oh, come on, church. We need to stop being afraid of what people are going to say. We need to stop being afraid of what's going to happen in the results of just using that one talent. No, you just take what God's given you. It was 5 loaves and 2 fish that Jesus used, and he multiplied. I can tell you, all you got to do is bring something to God in faith, and God will use it for his glory, for his power, for his kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying today? It's time that you and I use what God has given us. Chris, he said, Lord, here it is. 2 multiplied, 1 maintained. Are you surviving or are you thriving? 2 multiplied. 1 maintained, just barely getting by. I'm holding on. I'm just barely getting by. Is that anybody in this house? We don't need to just barely get by. We need to find ourselves an altar one more time and begin to seek the face of God. I can tell you, in my flesh, I'm just a barely getting by. But I can tell you, if I'll pray, if I'll get that prayer wheel turning, if I'll just get up and put some shoes, some feet on my prayers and do something, I can tell you God will take what you give him and he will multiply it for the kingdom of God. What has God called you to do? And what are you doing today? Oh, to Jim, it was well done, thy good and faithful servant. To Tom, it was well done, thy good and faithful servant. But listen to the response he gave Chris. Someone come to the piano this morning. Here's the response. Chris came to the Lord on judgment day. Then he said, which had received the one talent, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said, thy wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. I'm just going to read the next four verses. Let's let Jesus talk to us instead of a preacher. Are you ready? Verse 27. This is the Lord Jesus to that wicked, slothful, lazy, scared servant. Here's what he says. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the words of Jesus. Well, try to explain that away every way you want to. I've heard everything. I mean to tell you. I mean, they try to change the words of Jesus. I'm telling you, you read these theologians, you'll say they are dumber than a box of rocks. And a box of rocks is pretty dumb. Let me tell you something today. God has given us something. He's given us salvation by the free gift of his wonderful grace. Oh, listen, Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Listen to me. We've got the remedy for eternal spiritual cancer. I can tell you what sin is. It's just like cancer to the physical, it is to the spiritual man. And I have the remedy. It's called the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can share it with this world, and the world can be healed of spiritual cancer. It's time to do something with what God's given us. Can we stand? My brother Matt, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to use it. We better be afraid not to use it. I played that video. It's a powerful video put out by John Bevere's ministry. Powerful. Everybody thinks if it's ministry, it's got to be on the platform. Do you know that if you're a financial, you can give large amounts financially? That's a ministry. Do you know that? Do you know that if you have a burden to keep the nursery, that's a ministry. Can I get a witness on that one? Woo! Intercessory prayer is a ministry. Multiplication. Be an encourager. Just calling somebody up, seeing them in the church, and going into them and just putting your arm around them and loving them and encouraging them. It's a ministry. If you have a certain skill set, you can labor for the widows and the orphans. It's a ministry. It's a talent. And you don't know what that talent is going to do in the future. You don't know the domino effect, the ripple effect of when you gave to the Lord, when you did for God, when you used what God gave you. We oftentimes look around and we don't see much fruit in our life. I can tell you this. There's a whole lot more people that are impacted by your ministry, your gift, your talent than what you possibly can realize. There's a preacher that he's passed away now, pastored a great church in this area years ago. And one day, he was kind of down and out. His wife, him and his wife were down at the same time. He said, you know, his church had got down in numbers. And they looked at each other and they were in the Molly Grubs and said, what have we done? Church isn't growing. They had a homecoming service not long after, and all the preachers that came out of his ministry showed up. All those preachers came. And someone said to him and his wife, thank you for giving to the Lord. Look at all these preachers that are affecting hundreds and hundreds of people. Multiplication. You know, I'm going right now on the mission field a little bit. I'm going to get some things started, but Harvest Time Church is what God's called me to do, to pastor this church, to multiply. If I can train these young men right here and these young ladies right here, one day I may be in glory, but they may be winning hundreds of souls unto the Lord. And if I had a small part of pouring into them, Sister Denise Walker, God's using you. Multiplication. Ministry's discouraging. Sometimes when you're in the, I'm not just talking about preachers or evangelists or missionaries. I'm talking about when you're in the grind every day doing it. You feel like you're not doing anything for the Lord. Let me tell you, you are. Those teachers that barely even get paid, they get paid, but it's because they probably have a husband helping support them. You're making an eternal impact on people's lives. Well, I'm just an usher. I'm going to tell you, ushers, you're making an impact. Well, I just do this or I just do that. I can't do anything. You can do something. You just need to find out what God wants you to do. Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Several years ago, before I got saved, I was at Bullard High School. I was lost, and I went to church every once in a while, First Assembly of God in Bullard, every once in a while, and I'd go to sleep in the service. I'd just go to satisfy my mom. And I remember the pastor of that church. He wasn't a great preacher. He was a man of God, though. And I can remember that preacher, he'd come up to me, and He wouldn't give me a hard time. He just put his arm around me. He said, man, I sure love you. I sure love you. His love multiplied. Because I told somebody one day, I said, I don't want to be a Christian, but if I ever get saved, I want to be just like that man right there. That pastor. Never underestimate the little things in the body of Christ. He's given you something. Bring it to the Lord. Lay it at His feet and watch the miracle of multiplication. When you give to missions, watch the miracle of multiplication. Whenever you labor in any area of the church, watch the miracle of multiplication. Listen, this is the heartbeat of God. You know, you say, well, I don't want to be a part of a big church. I've heard that throughout the years. I ain't heard it in several years. You know what I told that person? They said, well, this church is getting too big. I said, okay, praise the Lord. Which one of your grandkids do you want me to tell not to come when the Holy Ghost is dealing with them? Because I'll tell any of them that you want me to tell. Which one of them? No. It's all about plundering hell to populate heaven. I want a 1,000-member church, but we just don't change what we are. We're old-time classical Pentecostals that believe in the Word of God, believe in the Holy Ghost, believe in tongues and interpretation, believe in casting out devils, believe in the power of the Spirit of God. We just don't change what we are. But I want to multiply. I want to reach the lost here in Tyler, Texas, and Flint, Texas. I want to reach the lost in Houston, Texas. I want to reach them in Honduras. I want to reach them in Nicaragua. I want to reach them everywhere I can reach them. Why? Because God loves man so much that He sent His only begotten Son 2,000 years ago. It's time that you and I find out what God wants us to do and start doing it in the kingdom of God. Watch God begin to multiply the little things. Never returns void, saith the Lord. For I have loved the lost. I have loved you. Today, saith God, you must do the perfect will of God. Little as much when I am in it, you must hear my voice and begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. And watch me work wonders among you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Do not hold back anymore, saith the Lord. Today, use what I have given you. I've spoken to you during this service. You know what to do, saith the Lord. It's time for you to walk in faith and watch me multiply your gift, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Oh, just magnify Him this morning. He's telling us to use what He's given us. He may not call you to pastor a church or evangelize. He may call you into the marketplace. He may call you, Mom, just to be a mother and raise those babies and keep them separated from this world so that God can use them one day to be a testimony to this world. Hallelujah. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that what you're doing and what you have is unimportant. That's a lie. Straight out of hell. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Whatever He's put in your hand, use it for the kingdom of God. I'm on every head bowed, every eye closed in this house. Very quickly, I'm going to give a call for those that are away from the Lord this morning. He loves you. I want you to know this morning, backslider, sinner, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I don't care how deep into sin you've gotten, Jesus loves you. And He wants you this morning. What you're feeling, that Holy Ghost conviction, that uneasiness in your spirit is the love of God. He's calling you today. I want you to just come out of that pew right now and come and stand in this front. If you're a backslider, you're a sinner just away from God, you need God to save you, I want you to come down here. As they begin to play, just for a minute, I'm gonna wait just for a minute. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be concerned about what other people think. This is eternity that's at stake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone in this house, He's pulling you with the cords of love. Why? Because He loves you. God is driven by love. Everything about this Lord, He loves man so much. Oh, yes, Lord. Then giving you very best. Hallelujah. Help me. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask everyone who can possibly make their way down here to come and stand. Come to the very front. Move in close. We have a lot of folks here this morning. You know, my friend, one of my good friends, is that man up in that sound booth up there, David Fraze. That guy's awesome, man. He don't like me bragging on him, but I'm going to brag on him anyway because I got the microphone. I love that man up there. You know what he always says to me? I got to do more. I got to do more for the kingdom. I said, Brother Fraze, let me tell you something. I appreciate that spirit. He's not saying he's got to do more to get saved, but he's got to do more. I told him, I said, everything that you've done in this church behind the scenes, he can do almost anything. He's one of those guys that has five talents. He works the computer. He's a mechanic. He's a diesel mechanic, works on tractors. Guy can do anything. Now, don't try to hire him because he don't do free work around here. I said, well, unless you hire him. But I told him, I said, Brother Fraze, every single thing you've done unto the Lord as a labor of love, it's impacting children. It's impacting future generations. Everyone who's worked on the Christian school, Brother Scott. I mean, I don't want to start naming names, Brother Mercer, Brother Bruce, and a bunch more. What you're doing, you're using your talent, and I can name 100 other different situations. It's a directly multiplying. It's directly multiplying. When you give to the Lord, little things, little is much when God is in it. I said, ask the man who only had, I think his name's Tom. Ask Tom who only had two talents. He had multiplied and gained two more, and the Lord was well pleased. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Here's what I want you to ask the Lord. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to multiply. Lord, I just want to use, if it's my energy, my gifts, my talents, my finances, Lord, to put into this kingdom of God so that more can grow. Lord, that so others can be saved, so the gospel can reach the four corners of the earth, so little boys and little girls can go to Christian school. Lord, working in this church, being an encouragement to somebody, praying and interceding, being a mom or a dad who gives a safe haven for children, who trains those children and grandchildren in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Oh God. Those moms who've protected them babies and kept them in church. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit on every heart and every life. Help us today to multiply, to use what you've given us. Lord, to not hoard it, to not hide it, to not be fearful, but to present it to you. To do something with what you have given us. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to us clearly this morning. Lord, we want to hear your voice clearly. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost to know what you have called us to do, the little things to know and to do. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Reach over to somebody. Let's pray for our brother, our sister. Men praying with a man, unless it's your family. Ladies with ladies. Come on, church. Let's pray one for another. Speak to my sister, my brother. Lord, show them the big picture. We oftentimes have tunnel vision and we don't see anything that we do as significant in the kingdom of God. But Lord, this morning I'm asking you to help us to see the domino effect of this great gospel. That little is much when our God is in it. Hallelujah. Little is much when God is in it. The little things that we do by faith. Lord, with a pure heart. Oh God, I cry out to you today. that you would so impress this upon our spirits that we would not leave this place the way we came. Oh God, that we would leave laboring in this great kingdom. Lord, in whatever we find our hand put to, help us, Holy Ghost, to do it with all our might. To do it as unto the Lord. Giving everything to you, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Little is much when God is in it. Y'all see Sister Maggie Daniel back there? Wave at us, Sister Maggie. Can you wave at us? That woman right there, you've heard the story. I'll tell you again. That woman right there and my mama and Sister Mary Dowdy bombarded the heavens for this guy right here. I would not be saved today because I mocked Christianity. I knew I was going to hell, but I mocked it. People who said in Bullard High School my senior year that got saved, I'd laugh at them. But that woman right there, along with my mama and Mary Dowdy, they prayed for me every single day. And that means, this is why the reward, Sister Dowdy, is not given until the very end. Because you're going to get credit for a whole lot more than what you can see. Red Taylor, by loving the people and pouring into the people that he's poured into, he's in heaven right now, but the reward hasn't been given to that man yet because it's still accumulating. He's already in heaven, but that's why the rewards God doesn't give until the very end. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands one more time to heaven and thank him for allowing us to work in this great kingdom?
Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Everything, think about it, everything that you do with a pure heart for the kingdom of God, God takes it and he multiplies it. Your job is just to use what God's given you. His job is the miracle of multiplication. Don't let that pressure fall on you. You just do what God tells you to do. Use it for his glory. It's time to get out of our pew and on our feet. In the streets, in the highways, in the byways, compelling them to come in, loving them. Brother Bob Eisenhower's son's here. What was your name? Adam. I want you to stretch your hands toward Adam. We're going to miss your daddy. I love your daddy so much. What a good man. Let's pray for Adam and the family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cry out to you, Lord, that you would bring help to Adam today. Lord, that you would touch his family. Lord, wrap your loving arms of grace and mercy around them. Let them feel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come in contact with Bob. Lord, this beautiful person. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in his life through the years. Lord, strengthen this family today. In the precious name of Jesus. Be with us as we leave this sanctuary today. We're leaving this building, but we're not leaving the presence of the Almighty God. Go with us, Lord, in our homes, in the car, and let us meditate on whatever it is you've called us to do, whatever talent you've given us. Let us start using that talent in the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to bring either a picture or a prayer request. And we're going to pray. We're going to anoint these tonight. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for Afghanistan. We're going to pray for categories. And then we're going to take our time and we're going to fill this sanctuary up different places. You can stand. You can walk. You can kneel. You can sit. But we're going to pierce the heavens and we're going to see miracles take place. Things happen when we pray. When we don't pray, things don't happen. When we pray, things happen. Miracles happen when we pray. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. We love you. Church time tonight at 6 p.m.